Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But on the hotline right now is the latest person to be honored by the Met organization as a Hall of Famer. And it's our dear, dear friend, Mr. Al Leiter. Al, what's cooking, buddy?
How are you? How is everything going?
How are you?
So excited.
Congratulations.
Hey, I don't think I can make your softball thing.
What?
I know. It's terrible. I'm actually out of town, but I texted you on that.
Let me just check my phone, see if you did or not. A lot of people claim they text, but they don't.
I know I did.
Let me take a look here. Al Leiter.
Evan, are you excited about Saturday?
Oh, I am, and I'm very happy you got in because you deserve it.
By the way, I think it was a little fugazi with that ice tank thing. You had all your shirts on and t-shirts and underwear. You go in there. The whole idea is supposed to be below 32 at least.
What are you doing turning on me? I'm your biggest fan. I'm supporting your Hall of Fame candidacy. Come on.
I actually liked it. I liked
Thank you.
The bit. I did.
By the way, there's a lot of people that felt like it was a legitimate, cold bath.
Well, you know what?
Because he was fully dressed.
Here's what I'll say to them, and I'll say to Al respectfully. I'll do it again. I thought it was so easy, and it made me feel so good, that if you bring an ice bath right to our studio, you'll make it bigger, you fill it up more, I'll do it again, and I'll do six minutes. No biggie.
But guess what? Guess what? Speedo, no t-shirt.
Well, that's not fair.
That'd be so hot, too, wouldn't it?
I can't show off what's underneath.
Well, you would definitely get a little shrinkage, I imagine.
A little. He doesn't have much left to shrink anyway.
So it's interesting because in my day, guys would ice every part of their body. I was like shoulder, elbow, knees, back. And now I talk to guys in the training room and, you know, whatever. Guys are playing, they're like, nah, they don't believe in ice anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? It was like amazing.
Really?
And when I played with Darren Dalton, when he was traded to the Marlins from the Phillies, that you talk about ice pack, his whole body. So it made sense to me that the ice has some sort of
healing quality. The NBA guys, and I've never seen anything like this, when I was at one of those Knicks Cavs games and I'm sitting next to the Knicks bench, every single guy, I mean, guys in their 20s, when they come over to the bench, it is immediate ice on the knees, the shoulders, no joke, on the seats, on their buttocks. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I mean, now it makes sense, with this ice plunge stuff, I guess.
But you know, it's also different out when you played throughout your entire career, different than now. There was only a handful of guys in every locker room that paid attention to nutrition and working out and their bodies and all that crap. You're the generation prior to that where there might have been a handful of guys, but that was not a universal thing in your clubhouses.
No, and that's why longevity, now it's a whole different story. It's empty the tank, give me what you can. There's injuries, especially with pitchers, and then they move on to the next guy that throws less.
I mean, in fairness, Al Leiter was in locker rooms where not him, but everybody else was like juicing up on steroids. He was facing juiced up hitters.
Yeah.
So there was a different kind of taking care of your body in the late 90s.
Evan, you're right. I would say when I first got into the big leagues, when I got called up in 1987 with the Yankees, that was not a thing.
Right.
No, it was still old school. The baton was passed with those guys that played in the in the 70s or early 70s, and they got the baton from the 60s. So, yeah, it was not. Look, I had Billy Martin in 1988, and I remember I'm standing in the train room at the old Yankee Stadium. I'm doing cuff weights. Evan, do you know what cuff weights are?
Of course. He has no idea.
I have no idea.
All right. They're called Job exercises. You do these little cuff weights. These are a couple little exercises for your rotator cuff muscle, and then you do some elbow exercise, et cetera. I'm doing cuff weights. Billy Martin comes in. He's got a cigar in his mouth. He's got his shower shoes on and, like, long underwear. And he looks at me, and he goes, what's wrong with you? And I said, I looked at him, like, me? I turned around, like, see if somebody's standing behind me.
Right.
And he says, yeah, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. He goes, why are you lifting weights?
Wow.
Guys, I had 5-pound, like, little cuff weights on my wrist.
Right.
And I said, Billy, I'm doing my Job exercises. He goes, you want to strengthen your arm, you go out and long toss. So I used to have to hide doing my cuff weights down the little concourse at the old Yankee Stadium in a little room where Ron Guidry used to play the drums. Crazy how far we've come.
Wow.
That's 1988. It's not 1948.
Oh, it's barely a generation. Talking to Al Leiter, you know, it's so funny. I say to Evan all the time that, yeah, and again, I don't want to date you or myself, but I don't remember in the 1980s or into the early 90s the amount of hamstring injuries and the type of injuries we see amongst guys now. And it's not invariably, it's more often than not, that the guys that are getting these weird muscular injuries are guys that are jacked, and you don't need big muscles to play baseball.
True. And that was my whole thing. Yeah, look, I thought this all along with, I was very naive. I thought the PEDs were definitely for guys that wanted to hit the ball out of Yellowstone. I just saw it as, you know, you wanted to be long and limber and elastic and flexible to throw a baseball. So little did I know that it was really about recovery. You know, you're coming back every 5 days. You want to pitch 30, 34 starts a year. So that was really more, I think, what the few pitchers, I don't know how many, I don't even know who was actually, you know, doing it or not.
Right.
But that was really the impetus behind why pitchers, I guess, were doing something. But, yeah, no, you got a 5-ounce baseball. You know, how much muscle you need. And I saw plenty of muscly guys that couldn't throw a baseball, that were playing in the big leagues. Like, you know, throw it well, I mean.
Right.
So
let me ask you this. The phone rings one day recently, and do you have a heads up that you might be getting a call, or you literally, not that you mow your own grass, but I'll use the analogy anyway, you're outside mowing your own lawn, drinking a lemonade with your shirt off, enjoying a summer afternoon, and the phone rings, and it's the New York Mets saying, congratulations, you're in our Hall of Fame. How's that work?
Well, it wasn't quite that because it was in the wintertime, so I definitely wasn't mowing lawns, drinking lemonade. So it was interesting because I didn't know, and I was doing some stuff at like advisory stuff, you know, for the Mets. Steve Cohen called, and it was really a casual baseball. How's it going? You know, and I really didn't think much of it. I really didn't because I had met him and. Seen him in spring training when I was doing some stuff with the Mets, you know, that
right.
Advisory stuff. So it was really about that and baseball talk. And then it was kind of the end of the conversation. He was like, yeah, and by the way, you're going to be inducted into the Mets.
<Hall." laughs>
I thought it was so cool. I'm like, what? What did you say, Steve? So, I think I can't say it enough, and I don't know how I'm going to handle because I usually speak in bullet points, and I know I can blab on, but I generally don't like reading script. But we got to be tight because I know there's a baseball game on Saturday, and there's four of us speaking. But you know, I couldn't be more thrilled, guys. Even though I played for four franchises, very short, limited time, being drafted out of high school, the Jersey Shore with the Yankees, and then traded and was in Toronto for 7 years, and I played for the Marlins, and then I got a chance to finally get to the Mets when I was 32 years old. So it was, in so many ways, it was the best 7 years of my baseball life. It was.
Well, you're a Met, man. I mean, you were best as a Met. You were, to me, the synonymous with the rotation as a Met. I know Mike Hampton was here for a year, but you were the guy. And your best success was with the Mets. I know you won a World Series with Toronto, but who cares? Like, sir, that doesn't even count.
Well,
you're a Met.
Yeah. No, it's true, Evan. And aside from me really cherishing being a Met, and I was right for it. I was ready for it. I was in the big leagues for, you know, I had some early injuries, but I was mature enough and I could handle the press, and I knew what the grit of the fan base was all about and what they deal with, the Pledge of Allegiance of their team and the other team and the Bronx and all of that. So I loved it. I loved the challenge. I loved the intelligence and the, you know, the Mets fan who, you know, would get after you when they thought they had to get after you. It was like a push. It was different than many franchises, and not to knock any of them because, you know, there's a lot of good ones, but it's a different place to play here in New York. And even I would throw in Boston or Philly with fans on you. And I liked it because I thought the reality was this. If I stunk and I was in the crowd, I wouldn't boo my own team. I wouldn't. But I would feel it. Like, I knew what they were feeling.
I don't understand why I feel this way, but 2000 and 2015, very similar. Get to the World Series, lose a brutal game one, and then a brutal game five at home. I was so passionately against Matt Harvey staying in 2015. Yet in 2000, being in that building with my dad, I never wanted you to come out. And you ended up throwing, what was it, like 140 pitches in that game? And that Luis Soho little roller up the middle still kills me. But I still, like, to this day, 20-plus years later, I love that you were out there. And I can't figure out why I was so against Harvey, but for you. But for you, like, take me through that thought of being on the mound, throwing a billion pitches against the Yankee, everything about that.
So, Evan, thank you, because it's part of my little speech that I'm going to try to surmise is, you know, I had a manager that trusted me. I also had a manager that had the ability and the wherewithal to make decisions. A lot of these decisions today are not made by managers. They're made by decisions at 3 o'clock ish. And they basically rehearse the game as to how it's going to play out. There's no way Bobby Valentine today would have been looked upon favorably by keeping me in for 143 pitches. How it transpired. But as I've said through that game, and I know it was a 2-2 game, and my thought was, I'm not going to pick up a ball again until Port St. Lucie spring training the following year in 2001. So, and then how the game played out, I ended up striking out Derek and Bernie Williams, I think, to end the eighth. And then the ninth inning, I struck out Tino and Paul.
I know. Two outs, nobody on.
So I got two outs. And I'm going to tell you this right now, yes, Evan. Posada was struck out. That 3-2 cutter that Piazza caught. I'm telling you, he was struck out. And then, boom, next pitch, it was like Brocious, a little knuckle sandwich over Robin's head, and then the 32 hopper. It was like two pitches later. Yeah. But I thank Bobby for that, because as we're reminiscing, and I know we lost, that was a moment, and it was because I had a manager that trusted me, and he wanted me in the game, just like the two-hit shutout in Cincinnati. Today, they wouldn't let that happen.
Never.
We were winning 5-0. They would take it and bring another guy in.
You know what I find fascinating about that story? We talk about athletes today, Al, that are so coddled and, you know, just a different era, and I know sometimes with the old guys yelling at the lawn, but Bobby Valentine wasn't a coddler, and yet I know he turned some people off, but the majority of people that we've talked to over the years, maybe with some, you know, some perspective now later in life, adore Bobby Valentine.
Yeah. So, Craig, Bobby was ahead of the time. He was. He was already into the analytics stuff. He was already into forward thinking with technology. I remember we were doing biomechanical stuff. He had guys come out and do these little diodes on the body while we were throwing side days. He came up with interesting different plays. Believe it or not, we used to have different plays, several of them, bunt plays, etc. Defense, very particular on certain cutoffs and how we would do it. Covering first base. Having John Olerud off the bag, and jockeying back and forth with a good base runner to help your catcher. You know, there was a lot of stuff that Bobby was ahead of his time. And I give so much credit to him as to why I'll be standing at the podium on Saturday.
I had a question for you. I know you guys are not allowed to do this, but Evan and I were BSing about it yesterday. If you could pick somebody to introduce you, prior to the speech, would it be Bobby or be there? Would you pick somebody else to introduce you?
That's a good question. I'm not going to tell you who is, but I think if it was like fantasy, it would be Tom Seaver. He was my idol. Like I the Leiter family, the Leiter boys, we were Mets fans. My dad loved Casey Stengel and the Lovable Losers. He was born in Manhattan, raised in Islip, and we were all Mets fans. I heard the last caller he's complaining about the Jersey Shore, but it was a pain. And I'll be honest, it was a pain to go from Tom's River to Shea Stadium. That's why in my town, in Berkeley Township, south of Tom's River, the rec department, we used to go to the vet once a month and sit in the upper deck in right field and try to eventually sneak your way down to close to the field at the end of the game at the vet. But the vet was way easier. So we would line up to when the Mets were down in Philly, we would just go to that because it was easier to get there. So the guy's right. I don't know. He wants some kind of some tunnel or something?
He wants a helicopter is what he wants.
Thursday afternoon after a day game, trying to get there. That is brutal. Don't get worse than that.
Listen, it's a great honor. Obviously, we could talk to you all day. I just want to tell you this. For people that don't know Al, and I don't want to get too involved in it, Al is what you call a loyal friend and a good guy. And I'm blessed to have him in my life, who's very good to me and there for me when I went through my self-inflicted garbage. And I'll always be grateful for you for that. And I wish I could be there on Saturday in person to watch you get this great honor. It is well-deserved, and I hope your family gets to enjoy it with you. And I know you get to see your son now going through similar footsteps that you went through as a kid who wants to be a professional baseball player. And I couldn't be any happier for you and your family. And I hope it's a beautiful day and you guys really get to enjoy it because it is well-deserved.
Thank you. Very much appreciate it, Craig.
Congrats, Al.
Well-deserved.
Have you gotten the call to join the Super PAC yet? I'll leave that one alone.
Humana, 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 as Ralph Kramden used to say.
All good. I'll see you soon, and we'll hook up in the next couple of weeks. But congrats again, pal. Be good.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. The great Al Leiter joining us right there.
Now, I want to say this without him hearing it, because you're going to think I'm kissing his ass. I'm saying this to you, really. As a Met fan since I could remember.
Yeah.
And you know I love Jake. You know how I feel about Jake. If you're telling me one game, one pitcher on the mound to win me that game.
Of what era?
Of any era I've seen.
I'm asking, it's your lifetime.
So obviously Tom Seaver. Right. I didn't see Tom Seaver.
That's why I'm asking.
In my era, I would trust Al with the baseball more than anybody else. And here's what's funny about it. Never won a postseason game as a Mets starting pitcher. Not his fault. It's not his fault Timo Perez doesn't run and Armando Benitez blows game one of the 2000 World Series.
20 years ago.
He had one bad postseason start. And he explained it to us months ago because I always was mad at him about it.
Yeah.
And that was the game 6 against Atlanta in 99, which he said, look, I was warming up a day earlier. He had nothing.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Fine. Every other postseason start, that guy left his guts on the field.
Yeah.
And he left his guts on the field like he did in game 5 against the Yankees. So I would hand him the baseball, and I would just not have Armando close it. And then I think I'd have a chance to win it.
Listen, I've been blessed to have gotten to know Al on a personal level. I consider him a friend. He's a good one. He's a loyal guy. He's an honest guy. He's a straight guy, too, in regards to having sometimes hard conversations. But that dude's money. Love him to death. And like I said, when I went through my stuff, you also recognize who's there for you.
Right.
Not that you asked him to be.
Right.
And that's one of the cool things is that I didn't ask him. He reached out and did a lot of things behind the scenes to try to make sure I was in a good place. And I will always be indebted to Al Leiter for that on a personal level, on a professional level. He's a great broadcaster, and he's now a Met Hall of Famer.
Well deserved.
And that's pretty, pretty cool, right?
Well deserved.
Especially, what I like about it? Sometimes we, I think the kids that today call it, give him his flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do that when it's too late. When, age takes over, you may not live to be there. And I was thinking about, when sometimes we bring, wife and kids and grandkids up there to honor, the dad or the grandfather had a legendary career. But for whatever reason, We didn't honor it when the person was alive.
Yeah.
So one of the great things, I think, in the class that's going in, which is Howard Johnson, Al Leiter, Gary Cohen is a broadcaster, of course, and Harry Rose is a broadcaster, is that they're all young enough to appreciate it, enjoy it, and share the moment with their loved ones, I think is really cool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.